Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including potential board game announcements and an issue written by one of the cast, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
I told you, it's not Kevin, it's Bridge.
Dun dun dun.
Just kidding, it's Kevin Bridge, whatever you want to call me.
That's a hint towards something we'll be talking about very shortly, yeah. But...
It was hard to pick something for this.
We'll talk shortly.
Yeah.
We'll give our thoughts on that. But before we get started, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing and still requires support, to the fight against the constant attacks in the U.S. against trans and human rights, and about the current crisis going on in Gaza. We encourage you to find a way that you can help, whether that's donating time or money or joining in protests safely where you can, or watching streams that generate revenue for nonprofits, or even just beginning the steps of educating yourself so you can know where to help and how to. Find a way that you can help. Mm-hmm. Be a hero in your own way. Let's try to make the world a better place. So, kind of our first topic today is one we've known is coming for a hot minute, but Renegade Con Virtual, the 10th Anniversary Edition, will be happening on March 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific, and it will feature Power Rangers, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and My Little Pony reveals. This is interesting because we haven't had a lot of reveals for Renegade in a couple months, because the last thing that they kind of told us about were the Arsenal Pack and the RPM Pack that are still... not quite released yet. I don't believe they actually drop until May. I have been chomping at the bit to find out because, you know, also last year within 2024, we didn't have like a big box for the Heroes of the Grid at all. It was kind of just smaller releases. So I'm curious if we will get one this year or if it's going to be more kind of a continuation of like the team packs. But it's also exciting right now because we're also getting a lot of the reveals and air quotes spoilers for the like RPM pack and the like Arsenal pack. And all of it looks really cool, and it looks like they're adding some really fun mechanics with the different Rangers. Is there anything, Kevin, that you're kind of excited for with this new kind of virtual con that they're going to have?
I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what comes next with the game because we haven't had a big box for a while, and I think the small boxes have been kind of like hints of what's to come.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens, and it's going to be cool to see what they bring to the table, so to speak. Because, you know, it's always fun when we have new board game stuff coming, so...
Yeah, and I mean, like, the big exciting thing for me, at least, was always kind of to see how, like, Jonathan Yang, who is the game creator and, like, does all the different mechanics for the game, how he kind of takes the characters from a show or takes a season's theme and, like, puts it into the game. That's always fascinating to me. So I'm really excited. And I mean... to speculate a little, I mean, the big boxes that have kind of always been like thrown out when people ask like what do we want to see next were like SPD and RPM, and now both of those have had team packs individually, so the only one that really kind of is left that hasn't had like a team pack that's always getting shouted as should be a big box is Dino Charge, I think. So I'd be fascinated if that's the route they end up going, because like there's so many characters in Dino Charge.
I think it'll be Cosmic Fury.
I could see that. That would actually be a lot of fun since we've already gotten Izzy in Dino Fury mode. That would be really cool to get like the Cosmic Fury team.
I have a feeling it'll be that, especially because we now they've been teasing like, you know, having like alternate arms and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I could see them doing some crazy stuff with the Cosmic Fury Zords. So, and you could easily have the villains of the set be like Master Zed and then like Bajillia and Squillia.
Oh, God. You're like, oh no, I have to get this pack now. It's got Bajillia in it.
but in all seriousness, though, I do think it'll be interesting to see what they come up with and what they release. So it's always fun to see. I'm also assuming we'll see more deck building stuff because we haven't gotten really anything new in a while. So I'm assuming they're going to want to do something with that. And if I had to throw my hat in the ring for what the next deck builder set would be, I would guess Dino Fury or Dino Charge.
Yeah, I could see that. That'd be a lot of fun. I need to get people to play the deck building game. I have like so many of the expansions that I've never even played or touched. So I kind of need to get a game night together and be like, hey, we're going to play this one real quick.
Yeah. But oh, that, if only teleportation were a thing.
I know. Like, that's my one thought, is if when I come visit you, you and I have to play, like, either Heroes of the Grid or deck building game, just so yeah. we can do it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends that won't like to play it, so yeah, just let me know. There's a, we've got venues to use.
So. But also, I mean, there's also the RPG game, which, like, hasn't had, a, like, any reveals for yeah. the source book. So, I mean, the kind of, like, we've had, you know, the base core game. We had the one that was all mm-hmm. around space travel. We've had one around time travel. The one I think would kind of be next, and we've kind of had it touched on in the Finster book, but it's magic.
Yeah, they've said before, I think the next set will be magic. Like, they hinted at that.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, there's still, like, there's Mystic Force. There's all kind of cool things you can do with that. And a lot of mm-hmm. people are like, well, they put magic stuff in the, like, Finster book. And I'm like, well, that's, like, sorcery is kind of was how they worded it, too. It's like, that's yeah. what makes them different. They're different arts kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm. well, and it's a good magic, dark magic kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
they could easily do a lot with that.
Yeah, and there's, like, different cool things they can put in there, and, like, different, like, I can just imagine all the different monsters I could put in the back, and then, like, different allies mm-hmm. that could be NPCs. There's so many cool things you could do with just, like, a magic kind of idea.
Exactly.
Do you think there will be any new Ranger Spectrum roles? Because I think we've kind of covered a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, we see, let's see. I mean, we've gotten most of the colors, so
yeah.
maybe we'll get some, like, one-off stuff. Maybe we could get, like, a White Ranger that's not, like, the special role. Like, it's, like, a core White Ranger. I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, Aqua is really one that they haven't had, but, I mean, they could consider that, like, blue. I mean, like, they could start doing that where it's, like, yeah. offshoots of the color spectrums. I could also yeah. see them, like, creating a role that's, like, a Zenith Ranger kind of thing for, like, Zato, kind of yeah. using him as a mold and kind of playing with that idea.
Yeah. Maybe a Dark Ranger.
Dark Ranger I could see as well. And then maybe even, like, playing with, like, how in Mystic Force they had the different modes for, like, Solaris Knight and Leonbo. Yeah. They had their different modes. Like, I wonder if they wouldn't do that or, like, could create a role yeah. as, like, a specialty character that kind of exists outside the grid but uses grid power kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably do something like that with Ninjor.
Yeah, or like, Magna Defender kind of thing. Kind of playing with mm-hmm. that idea that I could see would be interesting to do. But yeah, there's, like, a ton of stuff that could come out of this that I regardless, I'm excited. I really like Renegade. I think they're a great company as far as, like, they've really been pushing the brand. They've done so much, you know, kind of building mm-hmm. with things, not only with the Power Rangers wearing, but with other things at Hasbro. I mean, like, they've even just now started releasing scenarios on, like, for free that cross over mm-hmm. Heroes of the Grid and the G.I. Joe game. So you can start mm-hmm. playing with those two together, which I find fascinating.
mm-hmm. Agreed.
But we will see. I know by the time this comes out, it'll already have happened, but Jonathan Ying is actually having a AMA coming up soon about the RPM pack and the Arsenal pack, where he's going to ask mm-hmm. or answer questions about it, kind of, you know, give any details about the creation of it and kind of what went into it. So if you're interested in that, I'm sure there will be, like, a VOD on, like, Renegade's, like, socials. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
But any last thoughts on Renegade and Renegade Con Virtual before we move on?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, it'll be fun to see what they bring to the table, so.
Exactly. But with that said, we'll move on to the next thing that released this week, which was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Return Number 1, written by mm-hmm. Amy Jo Johnson and Matt Hodson, illustrated by Nico Leon, colors by Francesco Segala with assistance by Gloria Martinelli, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. Mm-hmm. In an alternate universe, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers finally defeated Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd, but at a terrible cost. In the wake of tragedy, the team went their separate ways. 22 years later, the long-disbanded team reunites to mourn the losses of beloved friends, but Zack and Billy have some unexpected information to share. Jason, the Red Ranger, has been operating as a lone vigilante and has since disappeared. Will the remaining Rangers be able to track him down, especially with a mysterious figure in pursuit?
Mm-hmm.
This has been long coming. We've known about this since, like, I would probably say, like, June of last year. There was some kind of project that Amy Jo was going to be involved in. We've known for a while.
We knew about it before Once and Always, because remember, Amy Jo, like, had to dispute the rumors that she was coming back.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yes. We've known so for she was a long time.
Yeah, it's been almost about a year since I think he got announced.
So I mean,
or at least teased, but
yeah. And there's plenty of recordings of this podcast where I have not hidden my feelings about this. I kind of feel I've not had the highest opinion. I will kind of let you start, Kevin, then, and kind of give, what did you think of this issue? What are kind of your thoughts of everything overall? Kind of how did this one hit you?
Yeah, I mean, this issue had a lot to, it had a lot that it had to take care of, right? It had to give us, in the span of an issue, it had to give us, like, and I think it's very interesting because I figured they would have taken the excerpt that we got from the 30th anniversary issue and just put that in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to be, like, what shows up in the next issue and, like, they kind of do a flashback. But I think it had a really hard task, which was in one issue to update you on where in this alternate timeline, because again, it isn't an alternate timeline, giving us an idea of where they are and like how that's changed and affected them. For at least the core five, we know what's happened, and this is going into spoiler territory. We know that obviously, Tommy has died. Tommy died in 2001.
Yeah.
So we know that something happened in 2001. We don't know what yet, but I do think it's going to be interesting to see, like, Amy's take on this alternate timeline. Like, kind of like, okay, if Rita and Zed were destroyed in 1994 or 95, whenever it was, like, how does that impact, you know, the Machine Empire, Zeo, things like that? Like, we're,
yeah,
like, is it going to be something where, like, the Rangers have been operating ever since? And, like, they fought, like, Divatox and they fought Astronema? I don't know.
I am going to go ahead and caution you on that now. I'm probably going to say none of that happens. I'm going to...
Got it. You think she's, like, kind of sanitized it and been, like...
Yeah, I don't think... I don't... If I'm going to tell anyone who's... All who can hear my voice. If you are expecting any kind of tie to other seasons or mention of other characters that were not in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers... I would not get my hopes up. I think this is going to stay
true. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think she's going to reference any of that. I don't think they're going to acknowledge it. I think they're going to have somehow made it that, like, their fight with Lord Zed and Rita did not end in 1994, but that it kind of extended out, and that whatever happened in 2001 was the end of it, and that they were fighting them for all that time, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's possible. So
yeah, I don't have terribly high hopes, because it kind of seems like the way they've set this up, they are trying to make this very Mighty Morphin focused. Like, I don't think there's ever been other Rangers outside of this, kind of is my idea. Which it's fine.
It's self-contained, like it's its own thing. So part of me does kind of hope that Amy at least acknowledges something about that, because that would make it kind of hard to reconcile. But again, this is an alternate universe, you know, things happen differently.
Yeah. We don't know what happened yet.
Right, we just have a general idea.
There may have been a Z-Wave, but not in the way that happened, you know, kind of thing. There may have been something similar to that. That's kind of my... If I can kind of jump in, do you want to give your full thoughts? Or can I, if you're good, I'm going to jump in.
No, we can just keep talking. We can talk and I'll just share my thoughts as we go.
I kind of don't care for this. I kind of, if I'm being honest, I've not had a high opinion, so this kind of had a really high bar it had to clear for me. My big problem is, I think this is, you're right, it has a lot to do, but that's any first issue of any comic. You know, that's kind of every first issue. And I think this one plays too much of its cards close to its chest, especially about things that we know have already been revealed, especially if you're a fan.
Right.
It's like, that may be the problem. Because there's a character that Kimberly keeps talking to that we don't ever see. And it's like, we know who the character is. You revealed her in art for this during Kickstarter. Like, we know who that character is. And then, like, they're really... Yeah. Hammering home this idea of, well, you know, what happened, and, you know, we swore off, and it's like, okay, how many issues are we gonna have to wait before we get this? Because, like, what y'all did isn't the interesting thing, it's now how you react to it that's the more interesting part. Like, I feel like we should have gotten that clear. And there's just some, for me, a little bit weird characterization, because this is clearly a vanity project. Like, you know, the second Amy was, you know, announced as being part of this and doing this, this is a vanity project for her. So Kimberly's like the weird moral center of the team in a way that I'm like, I don't know that that character ever really functioned that way, but they're definitely positioning her like that in this issue.
Yeah.
You know, she's the most right. She's the most capable. She's the one that, you know, followed the rules the best. And it's like, okay, okay, we get it. We know you played her.
Yeah. Well,
I the one thing I did like is I did like, oh, well, okay. I'll go ahead and say what you're thinking, because this is like kind of jumping to another topic that I want to discuss.
I think in a way, yes, this might be a vanity project for Amy Jo, but I also am kind of trying to give her the benefit of the doubt as well. I've not read anything Amy's written, obviously, but I do know that, you know, my hope is that her coming back to the franchise and doing this, my hope is that it's something obviously with good intentions, and like I'm waiting to see how this all pans out. Like, that's my thing. Like, and I'll share my thoughts about the issue overall soon, but you know, we'll see where it goes.
I'd like to hear your thoughts kind of overall, because there's like a big thing I was just about to jump onto that's like kind of both one of my issues, but also weirdly one of the strengths of the issue. But what did you think overall of this?
I think overall it's an interesting concept. Like, this is kind of like the counterpart to Once and Always, right? Like in a lot of ways, especially with how they've set things up. I think there is potential for there to be something good here. I think it'll be fine by the end of it. I definitely wasn't like page turning, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But like it was still, I enjoyed reading it. I think it's an interesting take on where these characters can be in a different timeline. And also where it's also interesting to see like what's similar versus what not similar. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the interesting thing for me, is like seeing Amy's interpretation of where the characters are at, because she also knows like they were her friends. She, you know, she acted alongside them. So I don't know if Amy even like talked to each of them and was like, hey, where do you think, like, you know, and maybe she did, maybe she didn't, who knows? But do I agree with some of the directions for some of the characters? Not necessarily, but I think there's something here, and I hope that it can fulfill what it's setting out to be. So it's like solid B+ issue for me at least.
Yeah. I you're being very kind. You're very good. You're being the Paula Abdul of this, and I am unfortunately not going to be that either. But yeah, so you kind of hit on one thing. I just want to bring up. You brought it Once and Always. This would be received a lot different had we not had Once and Always. That's kind of my feeling on it. I think that's fair. They're too close together. They're too similar. Like, they're clearly, like, the thing that gets tacked on this one that's at the beginning of the description is this is an alternate universe. That's the only reason this is getting done. And that's the only reason they can kind of pass us off, is because, like, hey, we did all this. Like, so much so that we even have to kill Trini again. Because, like, I don't know. Like, on the one hand, I'm fine with that. But, like, that's a well that fan films have gone to. That's now the thing that the series has gone to. It's like, guys, I'm over that. I'm over that being a thing we do in any alternate reality. I understand. Yes and no, why. But
yeah.
And I do think, like, the thing that helps it a little, I'm going to say very little, is there's that scene later on that's a flashback of Kimberly and Trini hanging out that I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I'm a little more okay with this, because this is almost like Amy Jo kind of like reminiscing. Like, I'm fine with that. It's just it's a thing that well has been gone to too many times. So to have it done in another story is just like, cool, we have nothing else to do with this character. Like, you know, and I can only imagine being a Trini fan too and being like, oh great, there she is once again. Yeah. They've taken her off the board. It's like, I don't,
yeah, now I agree with that in regards to what we get on the last page. I think part of me is wondering and thinking if maybe, because we have, obviously, while Amy was writing this, presumably that is when, you know, Jason David Frank passed. So it's not a coincidence that, you know, these two characters are off the table because of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it, I think for me as a writer, like, I'm trying to look at it from that perspective as well. Like, if I was in Amy Jo's shoes, I don't know if I would feel okay writing their characters, like what they're doing today. Like, cause it would just be very hard for me to do, like, to write the characters my friends that have died played. But that, again, that maybe that's just me being generous, but I don't mind them going back to that well for Trini being dead. I think and we'll talk about the last page in a bit, but like I do think there is that similarity once and always that's going to be there because of that, and that's
weirdly the end is actually kind of the most interesting part to me, at least. Because spoilers, we see Kimberly like after going to Trini's funeral and kind of being around her, you know, reuniting with Zach and Billy and finding out everything that's going on, she returns home, and a figure shows up at the door, and it's Trini's cousin, and she has her morpher. That's the most interesting part to me, at least, because it's unknown quantity. Yeah, it's not her daughter, it's an unknown quantity. You know, and there's just kind of that brings something to this that I think the other aspects of it don't. And we can get into the other characters later. That's the more interesting thing. It's like, okay, well, this new person, what do they want to do? And I mean, again, this is probably a problem of us being fans and being so like tapped into everything. We know that Tommy and Kimberly have a daughter and that she's going to morph into the Green Ranger at some point. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We've now got to introduce that character. We've now got to give that character. So it's just like, I'll be curious what they do with those characters and kind of how we move with those, because I think that's the more interesting parts that are coming into this.
I saw that last page and I literally went and I looked at it and I just went like out loud. I was like, oh, we're about to get a Next Generation story, aren't we?
Yeah, that's kind of my thought is we're going to get a new team getting put together and Kimberly's going to be the Zordon.
Yeah, and I don't, again, depending on how that goes, I think it can go really well or it can go really poorly. But yeah, I think the character of Celine is going to be interesting to see how she interacts, because, you know, the show always did push that element that Trini and Kim were close friends, that they were always very close. And so it would make sense for Trini's cousin to know that connection. And it'll be interesting to see, because somehow Celine got the Power Morpher. Somehow she knows that Trini and Kimberly were Rangers. And she somehow figured out where Kimberly is in hiding under a new name. And I also thought it was funny, because I was like, of course Amy Jo would put Kimberly in Canada, like, because that's where Amy Jo lives now. So yeah, it's... I think it's going to be interesting to see what that route looks like. And, you know, this is another time that one of Trini's cousins is going to be integral to the story. So
I know. What are the chances that this turns out to be like Scorpina in disguise or something?
I doubt it. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, I think there's an interesting hook there that made me want to read the next issue. Like,
yeah.
And I do have to give a shout out to Nico. Like, Nico's art is really, really good in this. Like, for the Ranger stuff, especially. Like, the double splash page of, like, Jason, like, going off and being a hero and vigilante was actually... I liked that page a lot.
The art is gorgeous. Like, don't want to take away from that, like, and complaining about it. Really well done. And I think the colors by Francesco Sagala and Gloria Martinelli, great. I think they do really cool things with coloring. Yeah. They really kind of do mood really well. I think all that's really beautiful. And I mean, Ed Dukeshire on letters, crushing it as always. So let's talk about Jason. Because he's kind of our first character we see. We see him get attacked. We see his coin get taken or shattered or something. But he is depowered somehow. And in the course of things, we find out that, like, Jason... You know, after, you know, they decided to hang up their power coins, power morphers, they decided never to morph again. Jason actually becomes, like, a firefighter, and at one point, like, an arson, like, kills a whole bunch of people, and Jason feels responsible. He starts using his power coin, morphs into the Red Ranger, and becomes a vigilante.
Yeah.
What did you think of that turn for the character?
I think it makes sense for the person that Jason is. And granted, we don't know what happened to Jason after the diverging point.
Yeah.
But he has always been the person, I think, in the show and in the comics to really prioritize and understand the weight of being a leader and, like, being a hero.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me that that is the route that he would take in particular, that he would feel like a failure and he would take that so personally, because we saw how he, like, took in the show when Tommy lost his powers, like, how that... weighed in on him. So I
do wish they maybe hadn't revealed it in conversation. I wish it would have been something Jason reveals to her. I that's kind of one of my big problems is, like, sometimes we just get told things and, like, it's just to get that kind of piece moving. And it's like, it would have been more interesting had, like, Kimberly gone to Jason and Jason, like, tells her, you know, this is what I've been doing, you know.
Yeah.
Because it would have had, like, a more of an emotional impact had we hear it coming from him and him expressing these emotions rather than, like,
yeah.
Zach's like, hey, he lost his mind. He wanted to be a vigilante. That's all we got.
It's well, like, okay. Yeah. And also, this is us getting their side of the story, too. So I would be interested to see if, like, the way that Jason perceives it is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it is going to be an interesting element because they did mention that, like, Jason was trying to, like, hoard the grid power.
Yeah.
And he was, like, telling them to stop using their power coins.
Yeah.
And then the reveal that someone else is accessing the grid through that. So we don't know who it's going to be, but...
Yeah, that I'm like, okay, that's... That's also what kind of leads me to believe is we're not going to get any acknowledgement of the other Rangers. The idea is that they are the only, like, six that have ever morphed, that have ever touched the grid, which is, like, not totally congruent with how the show has done things, but, you know, whatever. This is alternate universe. Yeah. This version of the world didn't have any other Power Rangers aside from these six.
Exactly.
That's fine. Yeah, again, we can go into this more with the kind of discussion of, like, Zach and Billy, but there's just kind of, again, there's a lot of work being put into, here's why everyone else fucked up but Kimberly. And it's like, okay, I get that.
I think we're going to get, like, as it goes on, that's when we're going to see how Kimberly fucked up. But yeah. We're also seeing it from her perspective as well. So...
Kind of, to a degree, but there's also, like, that's also kind of one of my problems is there's a lot of, like, talking around things because we don't want to reveal what's happened yet, so we gotta talk around it really broadly, and it's like, well, if you rather just showed us what happened, get it out of the way now, the fallout's the more interesting part. The reveal isn't, you know, the reveal of what happened isn't what's interesting, the interesting part's what y'all do with it after is kind of the yeah, thing.
That's fair.
And that's kind of my big problem is, like, I think they're trying to do the comic book thing, and this is probably a thing that Boom told them to do. I don't think this is, like, necessarily, it could be their original idea, but it also feels like a very comic book thing of, like, no, don't tell them everything in issue one. We got to get them to go. And it's like, well, you have, like, so many balls in the air. I do, since we've already talked about Jason, let's talk about Zach and Billy, because we got to get these two paired together. You know,
yeah.
In conversations, you know, we find out that, you know, they agreed 22 years ago with whatever happened, they would never morph again. But in that time, Zach revealed himself. He was like, no, I want to go public. I want to admit that I was a Power Ranger. Everyone else is like, great. You have to tell a story that the rest of your team were random people from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that would square away and work, but, you know, we see in this version, like, Zach is very famous. He's got, like, social media followings. He's, like, very famous for being the Black Ranger. Billy, on the other hand, is, you know, he's what Billy is in all these stories. He's the tech genius still, and, you know, he's running a tech company. And we find out that he has, on the side, been experimenting with, like, teleportation technology and, you know, occasionally using his power coin to power things, which, like, so... My thing is, I don't think these two characterizations are bad of them. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, the thing I kind of keep going back to is, it, in contrast to Kimberly, it's all done to make her look like the good one. And it's very weird to do that for a team of people who were all the good ones. It's like, no, you can't somehow have been the only one without moral failings right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an interesting take that Zach would go that route. That was one of the things that actually did shock me, and I was like, okay, let's, because I'm assuming we'll get a flashback to see, like, when he did it, like, what happened and why he did that.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those things that maybe. I was just like it just kind of surprised me because I wouldn't have expected Zach to go that route, if it's being honest. But
yeah, it doesn't totally, like, square with the character for me either. It's like, I don't think Zach was ever that, like, fame hungry or, like, really that interested in that kind of aspect of life, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. There's also the big logic problem of, they're like, well, if you tell them that Trini was a Power Ranger, they'll figure all of us are Power Rangers. And I'm like, my dude, I don't understand how no one's not put together the six of y'all were Power Rangers. Because, like, anyone who looked back at their high school experience with y'all would be like, yeah, it's weird. Zach was around like five other people constantly. There are six Power Rangers total. Yeah. Like it's like nobody else put this together.
Exactly. Yeah. It's. Yeah. I think
there's just like sometimes there's things that like I think they did because they were like, well, this is what we want to do with it, and like, they were like, fuck logic. This is, you know, fuck if this makes sense or not. But it's just it's. I am being unnecessarily harsh to this. I know. I came in low. It didn't clear it for me. So that's kind of my big problem. I'm willing to give it like the shot though, and we'll see kind of where it goes because it says five issues or six. I keep forgetting.
I think it's a five issue mini.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's be honest. If we got through Godzilla Power Rangers, we can get through this.
I know, and we're about to have to do that again. So I mean, you know, I'll tighten my belt.
Yeah, it's fine. But no. Billy's arc I think is interesting because it does match what his character is. And like it's an interesting parallelism with like him trying to find a way to save Zordon, and now we're hinted at that he's trying to find a way to that Trini died of some disease, and he was trying to like find a way to cure her and fix her. So that,
yeah,
because we see that Billy is using his coin to figure out, as well as with the Alpha, the leftovers of Alpha 5, as well as the command center, like he's trying to figure out how to enable mass teleportation safely for the people of Earth. And that makes sense with who Billy is as a character. Like, yeah, he's trying to like fix a problem, he's trying to help. And that definitely fit within his character. So
yeah, and I like, and you kind of brought it up, like kind of the way they talk about teleportation. It's not just, you know, that you can move things from one place to another. He's like, you know, you can save people in war zones, get them out of that. You know, if there's a hurricane coming, get them out of the disaster area. You know, you talked about like the disease, he can teleport the disease cells out. All that makes sense. It's just, again, like, I keep going back to how it's all framed, because it gets kind of like framed as this like really corrupt thing, kind of corrupt thing he's doing of like, you know, he's lost his way, he's going way down the path, which like, that's fine to do in a way, but it like robs Billy of kind of any agency, it feels like, because it doesn't feel like he's, he's a very logical character in like you're removing any kind of logic, because at least in like, I think Once and Always, we understand why he did what he did. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know the consequence. You know, he couldn't have factored that Rita Repulsa would come back. But in this, it's like he's breaking a rule, breaking a promise he told to a friend. And it's like, I don't know that squares with the character for me wholly. And this is also because it's my favorite character. I think that's you and I that's both. Fair. You're like, Zach feels a little weird. I'm like, well, Billy feels a little weird to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. And I think there's potential here. I do think there is a lot of potential here that can be worked out, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Because, like, and I mean, like, my big thing is, I don't want to shit on. I think Matt and Amy did well with what they wrote. I don't think it's terrible. It's just, like, it's not grabbing me just yet. And again, don't want to take anything away from, like, Nico Leon, Francesco Segala, and Gloria Martinelli. Like, all their art is great. Like, the art in the book is stellar. And we'll definitely see kind of where this gets taken. I do want to ask a question. Who do you think is accessing the grid?
I think it's the as of yet unseen daughter. I think she is in secret training to be the new Green Ranger. And Kimberly doesn't know it yet.
Do you think she's the one in the cloak at the beginning with Jason, or
I don't know. Like, I don't think so. But we don't know, right? Like, will this turn into an evil Green Ranger arc? Who knows? But yeah,
that would be an interesting concept. And if they did something with like Rita still being able to like control via the coin kind of thing, that'd be interesting. I mean, I could also see it being a kid of Lord Zedd and Rita. If, you know, Tommy and Kimberly have a daughter running around, if there wasn't a Rita and Zedd kid also running around, yeah, too.
Maybe, but it could also be Scorpina. It could be literally anybody at this point.
Yeah, I would hope they wouldn't go to the Scorpina well, because that's kind of the soul of the dragon thing. That's kind of my hope. It's like maybe they'll avoid that.
Maybe. But yeah, I think either way, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. We obviously don't know everything that's coming. We know some things. But yeah, there's potential here. And I think...
There is.
I think no matter what, it's going to be a passable thing. I definitely think I enjoyed it. Like, I did enjoy reading it. I enjoyed seeing... It's like the context of like, okay, where is this going to go?
Yeah.
And it's also me just like trying to give it the old, you know, let it play out. Let me see how it goes. My opinion may change with the next issue. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you can be the Paula Abdul. That's not a problem. You can be positive on it. Like I'm going to hold out kind of like saying it's the worst thing ever, because I don't think it's terrible. It's just like it did not grab me in this first issue. And it's got an uphill battle, because like I said, so much of this is stuff we've already seen. So much of it is stuff that's been done in the franchise. Yeah. Like we have seen versions of this. I am curious like kind of how it'll play out. It is also really cool, just to note before we kind of take off, there's very little Power Rangers in this issue. This is a lot of just talking heads and people just reminiscing and going back and forth, which like... wild that a thing like for Power Rangers exists, and I do want to kind of commend that.
Yeah, like, I mean it also I think makes sense given Amy Jo's stance on everything, because I definitely think that I think one thing that I am glad to see is I'm glad to see Amy feeling comfortable enough to come back to the franchise in some way. We know that she'll never come back like as Kimberly on camera, but it's at least nice to see her, like, given her stance she had a few years ago and like how she's kind of been distant. I think it is good that she's like at least trying to give this a chance.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see what the end mark is. It's just, you know, again, I can't separate the fact that this is clearly a vanity project, and like, you know, we'll see what the story she does tell, kind of how it gets more complicated. If it, you know, when they reveal what the team did back 22 years ago, and it's like, okay, we'll deal with it when it happens. We'll see kind of where it comes from. I do also want to say it's really interesting, because like a lot of the vibes I'm getting from this one is kind of a little Jessica Jones-ish, at least the like Alias comic.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a similar like lens in how like...
Mm-hmm.
Feels like we're dealing with trauma. It's kind of the big thing. It's like, it feels like we're dealing with someone's personal kind of demons coming to a head. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got four more issues to go through, so we'll get to see kind of how she plays and where it lands. I think, like you said, where it goes is kind of going to determine the reception, which is duh, but like it's going to determine like where this falls. You know, is this just like another derivative kind of alternate universe, or is there actually something interesting to explore here with Kimberly?
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah,
any last thoughts on the return before we close out?
No, nothing quite yet, really.
Okay, well, with that, you can reach out to us if you want to on most social media, on Twitter, on Blue Sky, at May the Power Pod, or May the Power Pod at bsky.social. Or if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at madethepowerpod@gmail.com. Feel free to send us topic ideas, comments, suggestions, critiques, criticism. Let us know if you're interested in coming on as a guest host. Just hit us up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find me on most social media, you can find me at ThespisPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on most social media under BridgeMT with certain numbers and names on it, but I'm on Twitch, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Blue Sky, I'm around, just come find me.
Yes. Yep. And you can find his schedule for his streams, and definitely check them out. Watch him, you know, play Pokemon, play Sonic, play Donkey Kong, go hang out and have a good time.
Yep.
But with that, before we head out, like we do every week, just want to say thank you guys for listening, we really appreciate it. And with that, as always,
may the power protect you.